are back. 10:14 right now in the AM. Hope you're having a great start to the day. August 24th. The election's just 2 months away, and voters in two Essex County municipalities know who that their mayors and deputy mayors are. The reason being, no one's running against them. There's also some people running for council throughout the region that are running unopposed. That means they're going to be acclaimed. They don't even have to come to your door and knock on it to try to get your support, because they know they've already won. And we've got Annika Schmidt here on to talk about this during our ongoing city building segment. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, John. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you so much. I'm not as well as some of these candidates, though. They don't have to run at all. They've already won.
It's looking a lot different for them than they expected or feared, I suppose. I mean, it's a different level of work that they've got ahead of them over the next couple of months, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen, not having to go and spend all that, you know, pesky money or raise funds or go door knocking, it's pretty easy to just walk in and know you get the seat. But that's probably not the healthiest for our democracy. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, choice is always a good thing. You know, having a range of people who are interested and dedicated enough in public service and the public interest and our communities, that they're willing to put their names forward, is a healthy thing as far as the actual election goes. I think having, you know, incumbents or new people in the job that are walking straight into it, and not having to go door to door and have all those conversations with people is too bad, actually. And I hope, you know, I think there's messaging from some that they may be sort of spending these next couple of months still talking to people. And I think, you know, that's a really good sign, that the recognition that this campaign period is important for all of those reasons, too.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, we're already getting people texting in about it. And I want to just read this one to you and get your response to it, because it sort of hits the vein, I think, of where the debate really comes down to is some. So this person's saying, if elected officials are doing their jobs well, why is it a problem if no one's running against them? If it's not broke, why should we fix it?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. But I think, you know, change is always good. And there's a reason why we have elections every 4 years, is to you know, look at different alternatives, hear different visions, test some of what we've heard from elected officials over those previous 4 years as well. And if they are doing their jobs well, and people like their vision and their track record better than what they're hearing from others, then they'll stick with them. Incumbency is a strong factor in any case. And so, you know, that's always, you know, the opportunity is still there for you to return the same person to office. But having had that conversation, having heard from others, having been challenged on their ideas, and moving forward from there.
That's what I would like to see. Why do you think that, you know, people aren't deciding to go up against some of these candidates? Is it that, you know, there was a fear of losing out, or is there, you know, I think maybe a broader disinterest in getting involved?
Yeah, I think lots of different things. You know, we have some election fatigue probably. This is the third one in a year, so there's that. We also know that municipally is where we tend to see the lowest level of engagement by the population and by voters anyways. And so, you know, we had a really low turnout at the provincial level. One might expect it to be even lower municipally. I think, you know, that depends on the excitement of the campaigns too. And I think there's also something nice about local that might actually get people excited, nonpartisan, you know, a different sort of type of campaigns. But for sure, that's there. And I think a lot of that also goes to just sometimes a bit of a blindness as to what it is that municipalities do and why they matter so much. That I hope is changing. I think we're hearing more and more conversations about cities, and you know, that's certainly the work that we do through the Center for Cities at the university. But I think there's a lot of pieces to that that could be done a lot better, would engage a lot more people and make them more excited about municipal governance too.
Well, yeah, and you know, as the saying goes, municipal politics, town politics, is the government that affects your life the most on a regular basis. But you know, I guess more broadly speaking, is this reflective of people just, you know, as you said, there's like electoral fatigue, but I guess just maybe even political fatigue, going, you know, things are running. How can I expect things to change? Why should I even bother to pay attention? But of course, I mean, that plays out in how our society runs as a whole, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, there's a danger in turning away from all of that. I totally get it. And I think it's rampant. And politics looks really toxic to a lot of people right now. And in particular, I think, you know, for women and people from equity-deserving communities, it often feels like a really, really big step to jump in. And so there's that. I think also, you know, part of the challenge is a much bigger systemic one that starts a lot further back than who's going to run for mayor or councillor. And that comes to sort of how we engage in our communities politically, you know, and how we kind of encourage people to do so and how we raise that level of awareness. You know, we don't teach municipal civics in high school very much. It's not as much of a part of the curriculum as federal and provincial governance is. And so there's that piece. You know, there are lots of different ways that municipalities do outreach well to communities and engage and consult with communities well in ways that make them much more visible to the communities. But there's a lot of work that can be done in that space still to do engagement that makes people feel like their voices are heard. And when they feel like their voices are heard, they want to engage more. And I think that's a pathway also to more people being willing to step up and say, I'll take, it doesn't feel like such a big step to go from the kind of involvement I have now to actually running as a candidate.
That goes back to what I always talk about with, you know, public consultations. I put it in quotation marks, where the consultation is just, you know, really ticking a box on a piece of paper saying, hey, we did the thing, we presented it. But that's not consultation. That's a presentation. Last question that I have for you about this one. Again, it's a comment coming in from someone, and I think it's an interesting question. Why is it a big deal if someone with no name recognition is not running against an established mayor or councillor? Why would anybody even bother trying to do that? I don't understand what the issue is here.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I think there's a lot of that. Like, why would you bother, right? Because it feels like an uphill battle, and in lots of ways it is. And I think, you know, maybe the question isn't so much about why someone without any name recognition or track record in the community would do it, but why aren't some of those people that actually do have name recognition and actually are doing the work in the community make the decision to step up and you know, run politically as opposed to staying with the kinds of work or engagements that they have? And I think there are a lot of pieces around that are related to compensation, are related to, you know, the fact that councillor is a half-time job in our region, you know, related to, again, to politics being a nasty business. And it's hard when you're a local councillor and you see your residents at the grocery store and at the community center and at your kids' schools and everywhere else. It's a tough, tough job. And so, you know, I think we need to be doing as much as we can to sort of encourage folks to take that next step and to see it as something viable and something that's valued in our community.
I say raise councillor pay to full-time and we can expand our pool of candidates who would be able to take part. There's other things we could do as well, such as offering childcare services, especially during council meetings themselves because of the hour. I want to thank you, yeah, Annika, for joining me. I know I'll be seeing you later tonight at the event over at Chapter 2 Brewing, and you're going to be on the roundtable on Friday as well.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. That is Annika Schmidt.